You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, Happy New Year, honey.
Well, I'll tell you what, I hope that 2021 is a damn sight better than 2020. I think we just need to take 2020 and flush it down the toilet. And I don't think I'm by myself in making that observation.
No, I think a lot of people feel the same way. There was just so much chaos and so much to talk about in 2020, but there also were some silver linings. So let's take a look back at 2020. And talk about our observations.
Do we have some strange music through the looking glass kind of music that we could play right
Zone.
Now? More Twilight Zone than Through the Looking Glass.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can't start 2020 without talking about basically the end of 2019 with the impeachment of President Trump. And then he was vindicated.
Yeah, basically, he's acquitted by the Senate when they voted on it. And to me, that was to be expected. A lot of people were worried about Rhino Republicans going to the other side. And of course, a few of them did. Mitt Romney, a famous Rhino Republican. But by and large, the truth is the truth. And politics aside, you've got to follow the evidence. You've got to follow the truth. And you also have to follow the lack of evidence. And there really wasn't any clear-cut forensic objective evidence to indict President Trump in the first place.
No. And then we get into the first couple of months of 2020 looked wonderful. It looked like, you know, the economy was humming along, businesses were doing great. Everybody was, you know, really in an upwardly mobile position in life. It looked really good for us.
You know, we were actually starting to see the results of the different policies, both national and international policies, developed by President Trump and his fine administration. And just like President Trump had promised when he was running for office, he was going to make America great again. And we were becoming a great nation. We were becoming a great nation internationally. We're getting a lot more respect
and cooperation.
And cooperation from our allies mm-hmm. around the globe. People started actually seeing tangible results of the domestic policies, especially the, you know, the 2017 tax policies. You know, I believe it was called, you know, Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So people were actually starting to see money in their pocketbooks, in their bank accounts. And then, which drives the economy, people were taking that money and spending it, which helps everybody in the United States and in turn helps the government through taxation.
Sure. And we saw a lot of improvement in people that had been flowing over our borders. I remember a time when you and I talked about that almost nightly, Ron, where it was just thousands of people flowing across the borders. But because of the border wall, this has change to a trickle instead of a flood.
Right. And it's not only, and this is what people don't understand, and I don't know why. I think some people are in denial, some people are just uninformed, and some people are downright uneducated. But it's just not the illegal aliens that are pouring across our borders. It's drugs, it's human trafficking, it's sex trafficking, it's transnational cartels and extremely violent crime. This is on our border cities and moving up in like through Texas and up into the Midwest and up into the Colorados and things like that. People just don't understand how important it was to build that border wall. And by the way, now that everything is done, and Trump is pretty much, his administration, I think, is done, and Biden is taking over. We can't go back to those times.
Well, we're going to talk about that. Then we come into March, And there was inklings of COVID before March, but in March it became a big deal to the country. And that is when California, where my business is, became the first state to shut down. And I will never forget that day, Ron, in March, when it was a Friday, I believe, and all of a sudden he issues this edict that all businesses are to shut down.
Meaning Governor Newsom.
Yes, unless you are essential, which I never even got the whole description of essential from them.
But you found out that you weren't essential.
Well, I was.
I mean, we think you are.
I made myself essential. But I had to lay off all of my employees at once. I mean, it was the worst day. My stomach was in knots. I'll never forget it. My stomach was in knots. My employees were so, so good about being laid off after all of the years. I have employees that have been with me for over 30 years.
You know, from what I recall of that day, and God bless your employees, by the way, because your employees were more concerned about you, really, than they were about themselves.
Yes.
And yeah. You were heartbroken over the whole thing.
Yeah, that was a terrible day. And it was such a shock, not just for me, but for millions of people, to all of a sudden go from a thriving business and economy to nothing. And that hasn't changed a whole lot in all of these months since.
No. And you know, we also have a firearms company in California, and we went, and of course, you know, the crime has been rising horribly in California. They've been releasing tens of thousands of violent felons from the prisons and jails back out onto the street. And of course, concealed carry weapon permits were way up, and those people all needed to get a training so they could get certified and approved for their CCWs. And when Governor Newsom closed everything down, that firearms business was basically placed aside, earning zero money and training absolutely nobody.
Well, and that, like I say, that happened to so many people. And here on New Year's Eve, it's the same in California. It's just the same. People are closed down. Restaurants closed down. I mean, it really hasn't changed much. And how long do you think that small businesses can last like this? It's just a tragedy.
You know, we are actually, of course, we're not in California anymore. A couple of our businesses are, but you and I are physically in Texas. And Texas is open, thank God. But California right now is back to where they were back in March, where so many things closed down.
Absolutely. Well, we are about in the same place, and some places in the country are worse, and not too many are better. But when that happened, a lot of other things happened. So besides people losing their jobs and having to stay home, we all had to shelter sort of in our homes, which changed our family dynamics quite a bit. Schools got closed, kids came home. Now what do? Now you're at home, lots and lots of people working from home, which is a new paradigm for people.
And you know, by the way, that paradigm is going to move forward into future years. I mean, in businesses, you know, especially where you're using a lot of clerks, you're using a lot of consultants, a lot of phone operators, mm-hmm. a lot of customer service reps, you know, people like that. I mean, huge corporate structures are, I believe, going to be forever changed as a result of it. You're not going to see these gigantic campuses with the gigantic, you know, thousands and thousands of cubicle offices. I think that's going to be gone into the future, because we all learned that we could work from home. We didn't need to be physically there because of the advanced technology we have.
Right. So look what that does. People will drive less. Less gasoline will be used. Big companies won't need these giant, like you say, the giant campuses. And a good example of that is REI, the sporting goods company, camping company. They built a huge new campus up in Northern California that they had not yet occupied when COVID hit. So COVID hits, all their people get sent home to work, and they decided to never occupy that campus. They discovered they don't need to have that kind of overhead. They can have people work from home, and they sold their campus. And I think you're right that that work will never go back to the way that it was.
Well, just look at our daughter-in-law. She works for a major, insurance and mortgage company, and with a huge campus here in Texas. And all of a sudden, they shut that campus down, and she has not really been back to work, physically back to work, since the whole COVID thing, started. Now she goes, just from time to time to get a few things, but most everything now is sent to her electronically, and she's got an office in her home. And that's what she's doing.
Well, and I did the same thing with my employees. I gave them the choice. Because we could stay open as we do essential business, but I gave them the choice of working from the office or home, and 50% exactly took one and 50% took the other. And I find that it works the same either way. So I myself divested myself of one of my office buildings. I had three, and saved myself that rent as the other people are working from home. So yes, I agree. That will change. The other thing that I think may change somewhat is schools. The schooling issue has been a real problem for parents, because whether they're working from home or they're working from somewhere else, having your kids home all day presents a huge problem. But they also had the time, Ron, to kind of look at their family life and get to know their family again. So some of us are so busy in life, but I think we lost a lot of that. And I think that COVID gave us an opportunity to bring that back. And I'm going to use you and I as a great example of that, although we don't have small kids, but we're people with our hair on fire. We're running around traveling all the time for business. I was going back and forth between Texas and California all the time. You're doing this and that.
I'm all over the country.
What you found is that much of the things that you do could be done on Zoom, just like a lot of other people found. What I found is that my employees are good employees, great employees, self-sufficient employees, and that they didn't need me there babysitting them. And that I, being forced to stay in Texas, it all worked out. Okay. But what else we found, I think a lot of people found, they had to reinvent themselves in different ways. They had to work differently. They had to be more present with their family, right? Just as you and I did. So where we have been separated a lot, not for long periods of time, but often in our marriage, now we're stuck together. And how did that work?
Wow, how did that work?
Well, it worked pretty darn well. And,
Yeah, we're actually doing okay. But we haven't killed each other. We're still in love.
You know, somebody said to me, and it's so true if you think about it, whatever your relationships were and who you were before COVID is still who you're going to be. So if you had a strong relationship as we do, you still are going to have that, So it only enhanced our relationship in that we got to spend more time together. And what did we learn from that? First of all, we learned that not just one of us, but both of us can cook. And secondly, we learned, I can see you want to say something right now.
Well, I'm working on a COVID cookbook.
That's okay, right.
But no, you're right. One of the things that we found, because you and I, because we're so darn busy all the time, and we had our offices, at downtown in our little town, and our commute is about 13 miles, which is a beautiful commute, by the way. No complaints there. But we would often, as is our nature and has been our nature throughout our relationship together, we like going out. We probably hit the restaurants about three times a week. And all of a sudden, we were not hitting the restaurants at all. And so we were ordering, because we have a wonderful store that we work with, HEB. I'll give them a little plug. We could order all of our stuff online. We could pick it up there once a week. And we were doing all of our cooking at home. And as a matter of fact, right now, probably 90% of the cooking that we do, even though Texas restaurants are open, is at home, because we just found just sort of a new zest, a little new hobby, and that was doing cooking.
And we make food actually better than the restaurants,
oh,
I
yeah,
think.
Oh, yeah, we say that all the time.
So, and we have lots of family and friends that come in and out of our house constantly and join us for meals. So it's been very, very enjoyable. The other thing that we learned, and I think a lot of people learned, is that we also don't need our office. And we are in the process of moving into and onto our own property to work. And we're really looking forward to that. So I think lots of life changes for people, lots of life changes for kids going forward in schools. I'm hoping that families got the chance to reconnect, and I'm hoping that they got to learn what their kids are learning in school and take a good look if their education is what the parents want it to be.
You know, let me go there as an old teacher. This has been a hugely disruptive situation for the schools, for the teachers, and for the kids. And I have to tell you this, Linda, I'm not, if the COVID close downs, right, continue, I am not optimistic for the future of education for our children. I'm just not. Because being a teacher, having been one, I know that you have to have that personal connection with your students. You've got to be in that classroom. There is a huge difference between a physical presence of a teacher and that social educational interaction between student and teacher, as opposed to doing a Zoom classroom where the kids are distracted, they're in their own element, the thought process, the mindset, the focus is completely different than when you know the teacher's got her eyeballs or his eyeballs on you. And there's just the demonstrative part of teaching, okay, where you're showing things, you're at the blackboard, you're picking up physical things to demonstrate to your kids. Kids learn just like adults. 80% of learning occurs visually. And the Zoom visualization of teaching and demonstrative teaching is totally different than the physical teaching. I think our students are going to be hurt by this.
I do too. But I want to move on in 2020, because then we had an election. And the election to this moment is still contested. I choose to believe, I do believe that President Trump was elected, and I do believe the election was stolen. And I know that there are many people that believe like me.
Yeah, and I'm going to be one of them.
Are many people who think Joe Biden just eked it out. Well, this has created another huge rift in our country, as if we haven't had enough. So we really have that to look forward going into 2021. As it stands now, it looks like Joe Biden is going to be able to take office. But is he really a legitimate president? I don't think so.
You know, and it's interesting, because you remember when President Trump was elected, the first words out of the progressive left and the Democrats' mouths were, President Trump was an illegitimate president. Okay, because he did not achieve the popular vote. Okay, but he killed it in the Electoral College. And so remember that we had to, and we still do, as Republicans, as common sense conservatives, have to put up with the constant refrain by the Democrats and the progressive left that President Trump was never a legitimate president. Remember, they started that whole movement, he's not my president.
Yeah. Well, I can say the same thing about Joe Biden. So for me, 2020 will be a year that I remember for three things, basically. One is COVID. Two is election fraud. And three, just on a personal note, is the loss of our twin grandbaby boys who were born a bit prematurely and just couldn't survive. And that was my biggest heartbreak of the year. But there are lots and lots of things to look forward to in 2021, not all good and not all bad. So when we come back, let's move on to 2021.
And I'll get you your first cup of coffee. Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DRRONMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice. So let's talk about what's to come for 2021.
Well, that's a big question mark. So if we have a new president who is polar opposite of the president that we've had, the first things that he intends to do, which are going to affect all of us in America, it's actually going to affect people around the world, are things that are the opposite of what President Trump wanted to do. So he has an agenda for his first day in office. And I think that you know more about what that is than even I do.
Well, you know, he has run on the campaign promise, and it'll be very, very interesting to see what comes from it. Because, you know, all politicians, when they're running for office, they make all sorts of promises. In my lifetime, and I'm pretty sure in yours, because we're the same age, President Trump was the first president to ever come through on his promises and pretty much keep every single promise that he made during the campaign, even with all of the challenges that he had to face from the opposition. But getting back to Joe Biden, he has promised that he's going to do seven things in his first day of office. And the first thing that he's going to do is put a halt to the construction of the border wall. I believe his campaign promise was not one more foot of border wall was going to be built. So let's talk about what the repercussions of something like that are.
Well, that's terrible because it's done so much good. And if you remember just a few years back when we had people pouring over that border, it was just horrendous with the drugs and the sex trafficking and all of the things that come with it. Now you have an additional aspect of them bringing COVID over, and we'll never get rid of it if we just keep passing it back and forth.
Right. And, you know, Mexico and the Central American countries are experiencing a big rise in COVID.
Oh, yes.
As a matter of fact, you know, our plans for exactly this time right now was we were supposed to be in our place in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and we can't go there. And the reason that we can't go there is, unfortunately, the COVID statistics in Mexico are climbing, and we're sort of high risk people because we're a little older, and we don't want to go there, which is extremely unfortunate because this is the best time of the year to be in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
Yeah, but we don't want to be in a foreign country, get COVID, and then worry about getting health care there. That's the biggest issue.
Yeah, exactly.
So the other thing having to do with the border with immigration is that Biden plans to send a DACA bill to Congress to give the DACA people a path to citizenship, along with all other illegal immigrants in our country.
And you know what? Here's what's interesting about that. And as a forensic criminologist, I had to track immigration crime, okay? Crimes committed by undocumented aliens and foreign nationals in the United States, even those on visas. And the biggest problem, and this came from the Obama administration, is they set things up in the various branches of the federal government that deal with law enforcement, including corrections issues, is that they have stopped the classification of individuals and crimes as to whether they would reflect whether the person was an American citizen or was an undocumented alien in the United States. So you've really got to get into the tall weeds in order to get the true statistics. I would tell you that right now in the United States, I believe the statistics that you most often hear, Linda, is that we've got about 22 to 25 million people in the United States right now that are undocumented aliens.
Sure. So now you want to give them all a path to citizenship and watch the people flood over the border.
And that would turn the upside, that would turn the United States upside down as far as who we are and, you know, how our government is run.
One of the things that President Trump had done was he had the migrant protection protocols, which kept migrants in Mexico instead of having the catch and release program, which never worked. Biden is going to undo all that and go back to what didn't work. So I just don't understand this man, because everything that he's got in his mind to do is a backwards thing for America and not a forward-looking thing, which also goes with his travel ban reversal. When President Trump put the travel ban, the left likes to say that it's a religious ban.
They like to say it's a Muslim ban. That's what they refer to it as, and it is absolutely not that.
No, it was people from terrorist countries. We don't want terrorists in our country, and Biden is going to reverse that. So is that something we should look forward to and be proud of, that we're going to allow terrorists in our country to kill even more Americans?
And, you know, great examples of that are the Boston bombings, right?
Yes.
And also the San, closer to my world, was the San Bernardino, shootings.
Sure.
Right? With the two terrorists. One was American Muslim, and the other one was a Muslim, the female, the wife, from a Muslim country who'd been radicalized as a Muslim terrorist. And basically she and her husband on December 2nd, back in 2014, killed those 14 people, wounded like 22 people in that incident, famous incident in San Bernardino. Those are the types of things that President Trump, with his international immigration policy, sought to stop. And by the way, he's done a hell of a good job there.
Yes. And so again, another policy that helped America that Biden wants to reverse. Another one is rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement, which I think is an absolute joke. I think it's a way for countries to suck money out of the United States. And that's all it is. And on another note, you have Bill Gates from Microsoft talking about putting particles into our air to stop sunlight from hitting the earth to stop global warming. This has just, to me, gotten ridiculous.
Well, you know what gets me, whether it's immigration, whether it's the economy, and these things that you're talking about right now, these, a climate accord, have you noticed where these are all based on failed models,
failed policies with failed people like John Kerry now coming back in,
but they're failures.
Get involved in
but
this.
They're failures. Okay, the Obama administration was a failed administration economically and internationally. So we're going to go back over our answer, or actually their answer, is to return to a failed policy under the Obama years. Next failed policy, climate accord. Absolutely a failure in Europe. And by the way, the United States of America is the cleanest, major world power in the world. The next thing, immigration, bad model. Just take a look at Europe. Okay, Europe regrets what they did with their failed immigration policies.
Well, I think that Obama wants to change America forever. He said it in his Hope and Change. He does not want America to be the America that we started out being. He wants us to look more like Venezuela. But I do believe, Ron, that Obama still holds the puppet strings on Biden, because Obama has lots of information about the monies that Biden got from other countries. And I think that he basically has that over his head, and that Biden is going to do Obama's bidding.
Well, you know, speaking of money and speaking of things that Biden said that he's going to do from day one, is the one thing that he said he's going to do is going to completely reverse Trump's 2017 Tax Cuts and Job Act. And we spoke briefly about that for a second, but I want to talk about what that plan is. And I thought maybe you and I could have a conversation on how that's going to devastate the middle class.
Sure.
Because one of the things, he calls it the Tax the Rich Plan. All right. What a fraud that is. So if you take away the 2017 Tax Cuts and Job Act that President Trump put in place in 2017, and you think that you're going to tax the rich, that is not at all what is really going to happen and who is really going to be affected.
Well, everybody's going to be affected. So first of all, economists that have looked at his plan say that, like you say, the tax the rich is pretty false and bogus. He will raise the taxes on people that make over $400,000. But the fact is that he's going to be raising taxes on the middle class as well, even though he says he's not. They've looked at his plan and they said, of course he is.
Yeah. And when he talks about raising the taxes to the wealthy, and you mentioned the key number, which is $400,000 for a couple, $400,000 per couple. They're going to raise that tax automatically from 37% to 40%. So, Linda, what are some of the things that happened with these? Let's talk about who the quote Biden rich are. I'm going to call them the Biden rich because they're not the rich rich. But let's just talk about what those people do for a living and how that's going to affect the middle class.
Well, a lot of those people are entrepreneurs and they own companies. So, and let me just throw in that it's not just personal taxes that he's going to tax. He's raising corporate taxes, and he's also raising
capital gains,
and he's reinstating and upping the death tax. So all of those things are going to be a disincentive for people to hire more people, to pay better wages, to give bonuses,
To reinvest in their companies.
And companies that have to do that, let's just say that it's an owner of a small business. Now he's going to have to raise prices to the customer. Who does that affect? The rich? No, it affects the lower and middle class. So this is a never-ending hamster wheel. When you think that you are doing a good thing by raising taxes on the rich, this is just the favorite thing that they say. They have to pay their fair share. I just want to throw up when I hear that. They do pay their fair share, but not only do they pay their fair share, they employ people. So what happened when President Trump lowered the taxes? People got bonuses. People got to keep jobs. There was a huge hiring incentive, and people hired like crazy. That's why we had the greatest economy we've had in our lifetime under President Trump. Now you want to go back the other way and do the complete opposite and disincentivize business owners, especially after this COVID just catastrophe for business.
You know, it's interesting when politicians throw out this, what I call mindless rhetoric. Okay, so we're going to tax the rich. That's a mindless rhetoric comment. And to a person that's uninformed or uneducated or disengaged with the realities of life. Okay, we're going to tax the rich. That sounds great. And that's class warfare. Okay, that's socialist class warfare. But they think that, okay, well, that you're going to tax the rich. That's coming out of their pocket. We're going to tax the rich. But because they're not paying their fair share. But they don't understand that people that make, especially small business owners and even large corporations, they pay state taxes, they pay local taxes, they pay workers' compensation taxes, they pay insurance taxes, they pay a lot of taxes. But they will be, even though it's a hardship, they will be able to afford that tax increase. And how they're going to be able to afford it is because they're not stupid. They are going to raise the prices of goods and services because, Linda, you're a small business owner. You're paying a tremendous amount of money in rent. All right. So the person that owns those big, you know, buildings that you're in, they are going to get taxed because the Biden administration looks at them as being the rich. What do you think they're going to do to you with regards to your rent? They're going to trickle down to you, raise your rents, and then what are you going to have to do with your goods and services?
Well, I'll have to up them or lay somebody off. And that's what's going to happen. So let's just take my business. My business rolling right along at the beginning of 2020, and shutdowns happen. I lost 75% of my revenue, 75% for the whole year. Okay. So 2019 to 2020, I was actually a little over 75% less. What did I have to do? I had to lay some people off. Luckily, I've kept most of my people. But now you're going to take my corporate taxes and take me from 21% to 28%, that's 7% more. Now, am I going to have to look at laying off somebody else? This is not going to benefit the middle class. Those employees are in the middle class. And what happens now when we all start laying people off again?
Well, let me ask you a question. Did your landlord reduce your rent?
No. In fact, he raised my rent.
Is that not a verification? Is that not a validation of what I'm talking about?
Well, it was in my contract of the rental agreement to have this percentage every year. But I actually thought that during COVID, they had to hold that, but apparently not. So yeah, even though my business was down 75%, there was no give at all. And, you know, so this is what we have to look forward to. The other thing is masks on day one. Biden's going to issue an edict that everybody has to wear masks for 100 days. And wow, let's see how that's going to work out.
You know, and again, and this has nothing to do with masks, but it's the whole thing, you know, where they say, follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. I'm not so sure after all these months that we are all that sure, objectively sure of what the science is and what the science shows us. No. Do we eat indoors? Do we eat outdoors? You know, what are those types of things? Are we even anywhere near an objective standard for figuring out what is causing the spread of COVID?
Well, the last thing that he's going to do on his first day is going to sign executive orders regulating oil and gas, which will be aimed at requiring aggressive methane pollution limits for oil and gas sections, rigorous fuel economy standards, and re-implementing the Clean Air Act. What will happen with that is you can look at all of your costs having to do with your fuel going up. So here we are coming out of the worst recession in our lifetime, and he is going to hit us from every direction with more taxes and with more regulations, which will cost more money.
And you know, one of the things that Trump did in removing regulations is that was a huge step forward for the United States. But I want to talk about that and more when we come back with our final cup of coffee.
Well, the war on America's cities and claims of racism in the ranks of law enforcement have spirited a renewed debate on racial equality. It was Alexis de Tocqueville who reminded us Americans are so enamored of equality. They would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. To which I say, be warned of the shiny object, America. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, it's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Your last cup of New Year's Eve coffee so that we can finish this segment and hit the hard stuff.
I was just going to say that. we're thinking alike.
I got a chill right there on the counter.
I'm okay, ready.
We're going to knock this segment down. So, hey, listen, what are your hopes and dreams for 2021? And I'll share some of mine.
Well, we have a new grandbaby coming right at the very beginning of 2021. So that will start us off in a good way. And, I want to put aside for a moment all of the things I really, really dislike about having a Biden administration, because I find that upsetting. And I see President Trump as the person who was elected. That being said, we all have to move on with life, and there's more to life than politics.
Absolutely.
Some days I don't think so, but there really is.
Well, and the reason that we talk about, politics so much on our coffee conversations is because it really does affect every aspect of American life.
Well, it absolutely does. So, a grandbaby, which will be our first, is very exciting. And I'm hoping that our other son and his wife can, make another grandbaby, because they lost the twins. And I'm hoping that, that's their goal this year. And I'm right there with them, because I want to be holding those babies all year. So that's first and foremost in my happy part of 2021. I'm also really happy that our life changed so much, was forced to change through COVID. Because we had to stay home, we had to reevaluate things. And I think what we've learned is a couple of things, and it kind of makes me cry and tear up when I think about it. We learned that we still have an extremely strong marriage and relationship, and that's a good thing. And we learned that being locked in a house together is fine, because we still like each other and would rather be with each other more than with anybody else. And we decided to give up our offices downtown and move into our house. And we're in that process. And I'm looking forward to that chapter of us, being a little bit more homebodies than the hair on fire travelers that we were in the past. And that wouldn't have happened without COVID. So that was kind of a silver lining. And those are the main things that I'm looking forward to, just on a personal level. And I think one other thing that you and I learned, even though we haven't really liked the lesson, is that we can live on a lot less and without a lot of material things, that we didn't lose a step in our life because we lost a good deal of income, as so many Americans did through the COVID crisis.
And it's not material things, because you and I are not material things people. But what we are, when we're making a decent income, okay, when that's happening, you and I are big creators of memories. That's what we do. We're memory creators. We would rather get the kids a memory than get them some sort of material object, like a present or something like that. Our present to them is memories with mom and dad.
Yep.
And, one of the things that I hope, because, part of 2021 has got to be about hope. And you and I love to go to Europe. We love to go to Italy. We love to have adventures internationally. And we love to go back to our, home in Mexico. And I'm hoping that the vaccines are going to create the appropriate herd mentality, right? Or the herd effect. And we're going to see COVID be removed more like the flu, where it doesn't affect, you know, so many people in such a harsh way. And we're going to be able to go and do those things. And, you know, right after the first of this year, we've got our plans to get in our RV, our recreational vehicle, with our close friends and neighbors.
And dog.
And dogs. And head and do something we've never done before, and that is experience the Gulf of Mexico throughout southern Texas, and go to those little tiny, quaint, and kind of hokey towns, and experience the seafood, and visit Texas and get to know Texas better. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, there's a lot of life ahead for everybody, and you just have to figure out in your own world what works for you and what makes you happy. I've talked to so many people, Ron, who have said, you know, I realized how much money I was spending on things that I didn't need. And now that I couldn't do it, I'm okay with it. You know, and it's funny because I was talking with one of my girlfriends and we were saying, you know, we could give up the nails and we could give up the
hair,
pedicure and the hair. Yeah. But I can't give up my eyelashes. So out of all the things, that's the one thing I chose to keep. And, you know,
well, they are beautiful.
It's just a matter of prioritizing those things that are important to you. And for those people that have children at home, you know, hopefully they got to spend more time with them, and hopefully their future plans as they go back to work, and maybe their work has changed so that they can work from home. Just see what you can do with your family and, you know, how life can be better for you in this 2021. It certainly shouldn't be worse than 2020. So we got to look forward to something.
Well, you know, one of my hopes is for my profession and my practice that I hopefully start to slow down a little bit, because the work has been extremely hard. I mean, anybody that watches television or sees the news and sees all the shootings and, you know, all this violence around the company. Well, Dr. Ron is
country.
In this country, Dr. Ron is in the middle of all of that stuff. And of course, you know, that part of my business is through the roof, and I'd actually like to kind of slow that down a little bit. And I'm really looking forward to writing more, because, you know, that's my, outside of traveling with you, you know, writing fiction is my dear love. And I'm hoping that I can continue to connect with the Wade Justice Texas Ranger and do a little writing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, those books have been so well received, and I think you should, because there are absolutely great plans for the books that are upcoming to add to that series. So I do look forward to that as well. And, you know, look forward to working with my Ladies of Liberty on the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off show. I've had a lot of fun with that, and they're such great ladies and just great to work with and great minds. So those are fun things. I'm hoping that businesses can get back on their feet, and restaurants, and, you know, people can start to live their life again, because it's been a very tragic time for so many people, that my hope is that we can start to move past that. And like you say, get some hope. And, you know, Ron, it's not just hope though. You have to take those bad things that happen and live through it and grieve through it, but then you move forward. And we can't stay stuck in those bad moments of life, because everybody has them. But when you stay stuck, you ruin the rest of your days that are ahead of you.
Yeah, you know, I think people, one of my favorite phrases is taking lemon and turn it into lemonade, right? And that's what I think people need to do. I think they need to reimagine their futures and, you know, basically put their big boy and big girl pants on and move forward through these challenges. And 2021, really, make no mistake about it, we're going to have a lot of challenges, but it's always going to be family first. And I hope that people don't lose sight of that. It's got to be family first. So maybe some people are going to have to minimize. Some people are going to have to pull in their horns. Some people are going to have to tighten their belts. But, you know, it's faith and family.
Yeah, and those are the things that end up being the most important in life. And you can't let all of the other ancillary things ruin those things.
You know, so what have some of our blessings been in 2020, and what do we hope for the future?
Well, I mean, I think that our blessings have really been what we learned this year.
Well, first of all, our relationship has been a blessing.
Well, that's always been a blessing, but it continues to be a blessing. And it's not that you don't have to work at marriage. You have to work at marriage. And people can listen to us and think that Dr. Ron and Linda never have an argument. Well, believe me, we can have some arguments, but we don't hold on to them. And that's the thing.
You never go to bed angry.
Yeah. If we argue about something, 5 minutes later, we're saying, what do you want for dinner? You know, we're over it. And holding on to things is destructive. It's destructive to your marriage, but it's destructive to you internally as well, I believe.
You know, I think one of our blessings has been one of our boys that was sort of a holdout in California. We still got one more that's a holdout. But he came and made the decision to move out to Texas. And he's living, you know, right in the same town where we live. And so we've got an extra member of our family together. And we've been so blessed that everybody, except for our one holdout son in California, our police officer, who we think eventually will come out here. But it's so great to have these dinners all the time with the family present. And we're all sitting down as a nuclear family and enjoying a good meal and a good beer or a glass of wine.
I agree with you. It's my very favorite thing to do in life. And we see our friends and our family at least 4 times a week for dinner, for a meal, for whatever. We do a lot of socializing with our immediate family and with our immediate friends. And we're blessed, very blessed, to have the greatest of friends and the greatest of kids.
And so here's another blessing. We went back to the Professional Bull Riders Association World Finals again with our bull, Rank Hank. And by God, we took a third place. We almost won the whole damn thing again, yeah. Like we did in 2016. And Rank Hank was just in his prime, and he just did a phenomenal job all the way to the end. And I'll tell you what, taking third place in the World Finals is nothing to poo-poo about.
No, we have a new one coming up this year that'll be in PBR. His name is Wade Justice, after your book character, and he looks really good. So we're really looking forward to that this year.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about the book series, Wade Justice, Texas Rangers, with the first two books, Absolute Justice and Justice for All. And that book's been selling well. I'm really happy about that. And you keep kicking me in the butt for book three, and I'm working on that. So that's been a blessing.
That's been a blessing. So did you make any New Year's resolutions?
Oh, yeah, the same ones that I never keep every year.
You and 85% of the population don't keep them.
But you know what? In the first one that nobody keeps, or only, I think, 20% keep it. And that is, and you've been the leader there, and, you know, you're hitting the gym. And I told you that come January, and we're right there, we're on the cusp. I said, okay, I'm going to be in that gym with you. And actually we did a pretty good job a few years ago. You and I were, working out together every single day, and we dropped some LBs and to go to Europe. And I'd tell you what, I'd like to get back into that level of shape again.
Yeah, you know, I'm not making any resolutions, and I'll tell you why, because I never keep them.
Yeah,
so
see,
what I'm doing
either.
Is setting goals.
Oh.
And the goals are short-term goals, because you're much likelier to keep a short-term goal than a long-term goal. So rather than say, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, I'm going to say, I'm going to lose 5 by this time. And then you restart your goals. And, you know, one of the people that we're going to have on Talking While Married real soon is Brian Moran, the author of The 12-Week Year, who is the champion of setting short-term goals. I took his program. I believe in it. It really, really works. So rather than a resolution that I won't keep, I'm going to set goals. And I set a goal in November to join the gym and go 3 times a week. And I have been religious about doing that. So I don't always like to go, but I do it. So I would just suggest to people to look at it as a short-term goal. Don't set a goal for the whole year, because it's too far. There's too much time. Too many things can happen. So set short-term goals and try to meet those.
And that's one of the many reasons that I fell in love with you and I'm married to you, because you are the wiser of the two people. I think that's great advice for our friends and listeners, short-term goals. So, I mean, I am looking forward to some good things in our future, having, you know, our kids with us, having our good friends with us, doing some traveling. Hopefully we can return to Europe. But if not, you know, our blowback plan is to discover Texas, because it's a huge state.
There's so much to see here.
And Texas is such a remarkable state. I mean, you know, we lived in California, and California had a lot of things to offer. But I've got to tell you, Texas is even a far more diverse state than California is. It's a much larger state, and there's just lots of things to do. And we are blessed with having our RV and our good friends and neighbors that also have an RV. So I'm looking forward to that. Hey, why don't you tell people about how they can hear more of Dr. Ron and Linda on Talking While Married?
Well, that is one of my goals for 2021, is to really keep people informed in our common sense conservative way. So we're not media. We are just people, and we're just people that pay attention to what's happening, and we get our news the same way as everybody else does, probably more of it, because we spend a lot of time trying to get the right news, which is hard to do. So my goal with America Out Loud this year and with Talking While Married is to continue to bring a message to families in America about what's really happening and what the truth is. And, you know, what is within our power to change. So you can hear us every weeknight, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on America Out Loud. You can listen live. Or if you miss us, our shows all go to podcast, and you can listen on podcast anytime you choose on your favorite podcast listening device. Listen on Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts. You can catch us anytime you'd like. And we would like to wish everybody a very, very happy and healthy new year, and thank people for joining us for coffee in 2020. And we look forward to even more coffee and better conversation in 2021.
And listen, you can engage with Dr. Ron and Linda by writing us an email. We got a brand new email address at
Dr. Ron and Linda at talkingwhilemarried.com.
And don't forget, it's AND, Dr. Ron, AND Linda at talkingwhilemarried.com.
Well, we are moving on from the coffee to the champagne. Happy New Year.